Welcome back, everyone. This is the Red and Yellow Kingdom podcast. I'm your host, Scott, joined by Rich with your average everyday Chiefs talk. All of our previous recordings are available on all major podcast platforms. Just look or search for the Red and Yellow Kingdom podcast, as well as our social media pages on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. So today is the last day of 2021. And it's just, like I said, I think I mentioned it on the last episode, this year seems to by, it's went by pretty quick and everything. But as far as New Year's, obviously, we know, COVID's spiking pretty hard again right now. But do you have any New Year's plans tonight or anything, or just kind of just low key it, kind of be at home kind of thing?
So that's the goal for me, is to low key it. We have Christmas Eve and Christmas Day parties being out and about. All that fancy stuff. I would love to just stay home, enjoy the playoff games for college, and then just chill. But my 15-year-old daughter, she loves to be out and about. So
right,
we'll see what happens there. Girlfriend said she's gonna stay home. So basically, that means I can either go hang out with her at home, or stay home on my own. So I don't know what I'll be doing. But what about you?
Pretty much kind of the same. I mean, as far as like probably just want to, stay at home, maybe, with the family and kind of do, maybe like watching the ball drop, all that kind of stuff on TV, kind of celebrate at home. Get your normal New Year's stuff you can, get that you do like a home thing for. I would say though that like might go out to eat though, maybe first, and then probably later on, just like I said, just kind of, relax and watch all the, if there is a lot of festivities. I mean, I think a lot of performances or whatnot that they were going to have, especially like in New York or whatnot, have been canceled because of, all the COVID spiking right. And everything. So, but yeah, just like I said, just kind of good night to kind of just stay at home. I know, obviously, like I said, especially you guys there in Kansas or Missouri even, you guys are expecting that huge snowstorm tomorrow too. So probably won't be really nice to be going outside anyways tonight for you guys. But yeah, I think it'd just be a kind of good night to just kind of stay in.
Yeah, and I'm not a party animal. So I'm one of those that's like, I barely made it to 12 o'clock on Christmas Eve. So I think it was like 12:05 when I told my family, all right, I'm out. So I'm not, I did that when I was in my early to mid 20s, and now it's, and just chill and relax, watch some football. And I don't even know if there's like NBA games in it or anything like that, as a New Year's buildup, but, yeah. So going out to eat might be a good thing. What's like a North Carolina or Charlotte staple that you must go to when you're there to eat?
I don't know if there's really, I would say like, a staple, just because I don't live here anymore. I'm just going to kind of visit, so I kind of just kind of go where people recommend, right? For some reason, I had a feeling for having some kind of Chinese tonight. I don't know why, maybe something that pops up as some good Chinese place or something for tonight for New Year's. Probably we'll see.
Man, that's always the go to because obviously they're. Celebrations of holidays are different.
Everyone
celebrates New Year's, but two of the last 3 years, we've gotten Chinese food on Christmas Day. Since they're one of the only few
places open,
right? That are open. So yeah, man, Chinese. That actually doesn't sound bad. You get a lot of food for a good price.
Right. Yeah. So we'll see how it goes and see if that is the ultimate plan for tonight, food wise. Anyways, so. For this episode, obviously, is about the Chiefs-Bengals Week 17 matchup. And I think we, like I said, I was just kind of discussing here a little bit before we started that the Chiefs have had so many different big games this year. I mean, they had the Buffalo game on Monday Night Football. They had the Tennessee Titans game in Nashville. The Packers game, which obviously Aaron Rodgers didn't play. But if you're looking at, obviously, some of the games toward the beginning of the year, you kind of come and you kind of think, well, the Bengals going into this year could have a team that's up and coming. And like you mentioned, you picked them as being one of your sleeper teams this year. And look where they are now. They're the I think what in the third seed in the AFC right now, and obviously we're number one. So as far as big games to now is definitely this weekend with the Bengals. A lot of up for grabs for both teams, obviously. You know, the Chiefs needing to win out the last two games to make sure they secure that number one seed, bye week, home field advantage. The Bengals at the number three seed, they're trying to win in their division, which the AFC North has been one of the toughest divisions this year. Well, maybe not toughest, but as far as close competitive divisions this year. And, you know, they still have an outside shot at the number one seed. If they can beat the Chiefs and the Titans lose at least one game, I think they actually would jump into – well, actually, they have to have the Chiefs lose, I'm sorry, two games. Right. But if they beat us and then we were to lose to Denver, which, you know, probably might not happen, but they still have an outside shot at the number one seed. So there's a lot to play for in this game between both teams. So it's going to be a really intriguing matchup for both teams. But I guess I'll just we'll start with you sending describing the numbers between both teams so far going into this game.
Yeah, so I'll start off with computer's moving. It always does it every time I need to pull up the stats. Let's move the screen. So Chiefs come in at 11-4. The Bengals are 9-6. Going into the team numbers, as always, right, I'll start off with our opponent. So the Bengals, points scored per game, it's a little bit over 27, which is 7th in the league. They give up about 22 points per game, which is 13th in the NFL. Chiefs are at 28 points scored per game, which is 4th best in the NFL, and a little bit over 20 points per game, which is 5th best in the NFL. So two very good offenses, right? Top 10 offenses, top 7. And then defensively from a point scoring perspective, two teams that don't give up a lot of points. On a yardage categories, the Bengals are at 259 in the air, which is 8th best in the NFL, 285 to 2nd best for the Chiefs, 106 on the ground for the Bengals, which is 22nd best in the NFL, and the Chiefs are at 111, which is 17th best in the NFL. So without a doubt, when you have quarterbacks like Mahomes and Burrow and all the weapons that both teams have, you know, you expect their passing game to be as dynamic as it is. And then defensively, from a yardage perspective, the Bengals give up 252 yards in the air, which is 29th best in the NFL, 92 on the ground, 4th best in the NFL. And then the Chiefs are at 245 yards in the air, 116 on the ground, so 25th and 20th ranked in the air and by ground. Of course, the leaders for the team, the quarterbacks, I mean, it's, you know, two of the best young quarterbacks in the NFL, and Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow. Mahomes comes into this game with 4,310 yards, 33 touchdowns. Tyreek Hill is at 104 receptions, a little bit under 1,200 yards and 9 touchdowns. And then Clyde Edwards-Helaire with 517 yards and 4 touchdowns being the leaders for the Chiefs. The Bengals with Burrow are at 4,165 yards and 30 touchdowns. Ja'Marr Chase leads the way, the rookie from LSU and a good buddy of Joe Burrow from their LSU days, with 68 receptions, 1,163 yards, and 10 touchdowns. Those are great numbers as a rookie. And Joe Mixon leads the way for them with 1,159 yards and 13 touchdowns. So big numbers from just two really good offensively structured teams. So I'm sure we're going to expect some fireworks. That's what we'll expect, right, is fireworks from
you. Definitely, yeah.
So, yeah, injury-wise, you know, who is available and who is not.
All right, so as far as the injury report for Week 17, obviously there's only been 2 days of at least practice notes so far. I'm sure they'll probably be practicing here if they haven't already, just they haven't put out the last practice day of the week. But as far as for the first 2 days, obviously, Clyde Edwards-Helaire did not practice both days with a shoulder injury, so looking like he will definitely miss the game on Sunday. Mike Hughes didn't practice, I'm sorry, on Wednesday due to a personal reason, but he did return to practice yesterday. And the new one added to the injury report for the Chiefs was Joe Tooney which he had an illness. Obviously, nothing has come out about if it's COVID-related or anything like that. So that would be interesting to keep an eye on because he did not practice yesterday. Hopefully, it's nothing that's COVID-related and, you know, it's something that we won't have to worry about him not playing. But if he, for some reason, doesn't end up playing the game, it'd be interesting to see if the Chiefs start Kyle Long there at left guard if he's not able to play on Sunday. That's it as far as on the Chiefs side, because even Tyrann Mathieu, like I said, once again from last episode where I mentioned that he had fully practiced on first day of this week with that quad injury, he actually fully practiced again. So looks like he's good to go and not going to have any worries of him not playing on Sunday. As far as the Bengals, still the same. Looks like for them this week, at least on the first 2 days, Cam Sample, their edge rusher, has a hamstring injury and has not practiced both days along with Jalen Davis, their cornerback, has an ankle injury and hasn't practiced as well the first 2 days this week. So those are just those two for them. So going into this game, pretty healthy game, looks like, on both sides of the ball. For both teams, which, like I said, it's going to be an exciting matchup to watch for sure on Sunday. So leading into the Bengals, once again, for their 2021 performance, would you say, Rich, that you've seen that's kind of, it's exciting to watch from this team? I mean, obviously, it's their offense and their rookies and running game, but is there – as far as maybe their defense, has it been as, you know, exciting to watch more so on the offense, or is this kind of just the offense is pretty much balling for them as to why they're doing so well?
So I started following them a little bit more closely once Joe Burrow got there last year. And, I think their defense has kind of been set in place. They're very aggressive. I mean, if you guys remember that, final, I think it was Monday night game versus Steelers where Juju was dancing on their logo and then he gets carted off the field after they absolutely crushed him on a drag route across the middle. I mean, which is typical Bengals Steelers matchups. But their defense is like that, right? They attack, they hit. Maybe from a yardage perspective, they're not the greatest. But, you know, that's like the Chiefs. All that matters is points. And they're 13th in the league. So they're very physical. They're very aggressive. But without a doubt, you know, in modern-day football, your quarterback and his weapons are everything. Their offensive line was atrocious last year, which is why – Burrow got destroyed and ultimately the reason why he was out, right? And then, so they already had T. Higgins. Tyler Boyd, to me, is one of the most underrated wide receivers in the NFL. And then Joe Mixon is a really good running back. And then they just added a generational talent in Ja'Marr Chase. So they not only made the weapons better, but they also invested some capital in making their offensive line a little better. And even though Joe Burrow has gotten beat up still, it hasn't been as bad as it was last year. They signed Riley Reiff, if I'm not mistaken. They drafted a guy, I can't remember his name off the top of my head. But they've done better, and that's why Joey Burrow has, you know, 30 touchdowns. He might be struggling a little bit with the interceptions, but this is his first full season in the NFL with last year being cut short. So at the end of the day, their defense is solid and good. It's kind of like the Chiefs, right? They do their job. They make it, you know, they're fast. They hit. But at the end of the day, their quarterback and his weapons are the team. So it's, to me, one of the teams that'll be up there with the Chiefs, battling, you know, with the Bills and the Chiefs and whatever the Ravens do with Lamar, if they figure out Lamar Jackson's situation. So I think they're a team that's going to be, you know, right up there with, I can't forget the Chargers, right? It's just one of those teams that they're set up to compete in the AFC for the next 10 years with Joey Burrow and all the targets he has.
Right, and I can't remember a Bengals team really been this good probably since, what was it, that 1 year that Carson Palmer did really well?
When he got hurt.
Yeah, and then he got hurt. Like, they were like, what? I want to say they were like 12-4 or 13-3. Like, they were really good that year, and then Carson Palmer got hurt. And then just since then, you know, they've had some average teams to maybe bad teams, but they haven't had a team like they have this year. And like I said, it has a lot to do with that offense with Ja'Marr Chase has, 1,100 yards, like you were saying, 1,100 yards receiving this year. You know, Joe Burrow is just up there with, you know, Justin Herbert as far as, you know, one of these new upcoming quarterbacks. I can't really mention Mahomes because he's been in the, you know, league, like, you know, there so long. But I mean, as far as on the next up and coming behind him, even, you know, he's up there in that category. And then Joe Mixon, maybe under the radar this year, another 1,000-yard season, and that's his third 1,000-yard season in 5 years he's been in the league. Because I know he's had some injury problems, especially last year. I think he only got like less than about 650 yards last year total. But yeah, he kind of sliding on the radar, but still a top running back in this league. So with this offense, it's going to be a really interesting matchup with our defense, the way our defense was playing lately too. So I was kind of, you know, going into thinking about this game, you know, I was almost thinking like, well, when's that real shootout that the Chiefs might have this year? And this is probably it, I think it could be, depending on what how our defense actually shows up in this game. But it could potentially be an actual, like, real shootout, I would say, for this game. So we'll have to see. As far as on our keys to both sides of the ball for the Chiefs going into the game, on the offensive side, I kind of had listed that obviously with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you know, most likely probably not playing this week, I would still like to see that continued mixture of, you know, the powerhouse and Darrell Williams, and then you got the speed back with Derek Gore. So I'd like to see a lot of, obviously, continuing mixture of both. It's good to see that Gore is probably going to get, obviously, more time. I know Jerick McKinnon has been back on practice this week. He kept coming off IR, but I don't think he'll actually be activated this week, maybe next week. But so we'll probably be able to see a heavy dose of Darrell Williams and Derek Gore, which will be very interesting to watch, because I think most Chiefs fans see that these are the two running backs we'd like to see more of. Not to say that, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire hasn't contributed. He just has had some injury problems, and there's sometimes you just don't feel like his style fits the offense as well as Darrell Williams and Derek Gore will be probably moving forward. So, but that's my keys anyway, is just like to kind of continue to see that mixture of both backs on the offense.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's a lot of the same thing that I've been saying. It's just a clean, efficient game on offense. Patrick taking what is given, whether it's, you know, running back, whether it's just purely running the ball or catches out the backfield, you know, to the running backs, short, quick throws to Hill or whatever other wide receiver steps in. So, yeah, I mean, it's just one of those games where I just want Patrick to be efficient, takes what's given, high completion rate. They don't, you know, you don't need any big plays or anything like that. I mean, you don't have to force them if they're given, great. But just a clean, efficient game. The Bengals do like to bring pressure, so that'll be interesting on how we pick that up in pass protection. So keep Patrick clean, Patrick be efficient. So it sounds like what I'm saying is Patrick just needs to be the new version of himself, versus, you know, the Superman that he sometimes has to be all the time, or the Superman that he was all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, give us a little bit of Superman and just more efficient Patrick that we've seen over the last few weeks.
Yep, totally agree. As long as he can kind of keep up that new style that he's been playing, you know, it's fun to watch. As long as, like I said, we don't run into the whole thing is, you know, turning the ball over or anything, which, like I said, we've done, you know, pretty well of recently. So, yeah, it would be nice to just see that, like I said, the consistency we've been seeing, you know, as of late. And obviously, with no Kelce last week, Tyreek Hill, like I said, didn't play in the second half. We saw a lot of other players kind of step up a little bit in their roles. So it'd be interesting to see now with how this game goes. Obviously, you have Kelce back. You know, Tyreek Hill obviously probably will be playing the whole game. So, well, interesting to see kind of how everybody else kind of fits in their own roles. But definitely looking forward to see how the offense performs this week against the Bengals. As far as on the defensive side, there's really a lot here because, like we kind of mentioned, like everything on their offense, whether it be Joe Burrow or Ja'Marr Chase or Joe Mixon, there's just a lot of different things they can kind of throw at you with the way that their offense is. I mean, I kind of have it to where, as far as my key is, getting pressure on Joe Burrow. You know, obviously, we've done really well as far as pressuring the quarterbacks in previous weeks. So, you know, continue getting kind of pressuring the quarterback, especially Joe Burrows. Maybe even trying to, depending on how we have set up on our secondary or cornerback situation, I guess, as far as who is going to be probably checking Jamal Chase most of the time, maybe try to just double team him as much as we can, just making sure that he doesn't get open. Obviously, they have, what's the other receivers, Higgins, that they have too as well.
Right.
That is a big time prime wide receiver too as well. So it's just going to be an interesting thing. But I think, like I said, our ultimate goal for this game, as far as on the key matchup for me, would be to just, you know, try to get some pressure on Joe Burrow, get some sacks, and hopefully cause some turnovers.
Yeah, and one thing I was looking at is how many times have the Chiefs given up 100 yards to a wide receiver? Let's say since, you know, the defense got sorted out, right? Of course, before. Mm-hmm. Before all that, you know, we gave up big time yards to Bills, the Knox, the tight end. Diggs had almost 100 yards. AJ Brown tore us up. I think there was one more. No, I think that was it. So, but since the defense has figured it out, only Hunter Renfrow in the Chiefs Raiders game, the second game, has any wide receiver gone over 100 yards. Now, I don't think we've played any team that has three really good wide receivers in Boyd, Higgins, mm-hmm. and Chase, as well as, you know, whatever they do with the tight end situation, because Uzama has been good, and I think you mentioned him being on the injury report earlier, but it was Cameron Temple. I don't know why I thought you said mm-hmm. Uzama, but they've got a good tight end as well. So I think it's going to be one of those games where you have to test that offensive line. Like I said, they've improved from last year, but it's still probably the area that they need to focus on building for Burrow the most. So, you know, all of our defensive linemen and the pressure that Spagnuolo brings has to get to Burrow quickly. If you hit him early, you know, what that's going to start doing is making the play calls change, where you're getting the ball to Chase, Higgins, and Boyd in quicker situations. So, you know, in a lot of their game is kind of like the Chiefs. They like to go deep. And if you watch the game versus the Ravens, Tyler Boyd had a long one, Jamar Chase, and I think T. Higgins all had long touchdowns. So, you know, they're kind of like the Chiefs. If you keep everything in front of them, make good tackles, make them go, you know, a lot of plays down the field, it's a little bit more frustrating for them than, you know, just taking, you know, the top off the roof and letting it fly. So get pressure on Burrow, really test him early too. You know, let him know you're there. And then the corners just have to be really, really good, which, you know, in my opinion, the numbers show that with the fact that only one wide receiver has gone over 100 yards in basically, I think, the last eight games. So, you know, Ward, Snead, whoever we line up at corner in whatever spot will be interesting. To me, I think the key to this game is if that defense gets on Burrow early, they're going to start looking for Tyler Boyd, who is their slot guy. And I think if Boyd has a big game yardage-wise, I think that's fine because that means we're keeping Chase and Higgins contained. So it's one of those where you can't stop everybody. So you got to pick your poison. And if, like I said, if they're hitting a lot of, you know, slot passes to Boyd, I think we're doing well. So for me defensively, that's the big thing is don't give up big plays. Get to Burrow early. Make him be more of a check down quarterback. And, you know, do a really good job of tackling.
It's a good point of putting it that basically like minimizing big plays. Like you said, like is exactly how the Chiefs offense is set up. So, yeah, that's basically the game plan there is just making sure you're shutting down some of their prime weapons. You know, hopefully getting Joe Mixon into check as well with that running game. But, yeah, minimizing those big plays, making sure you're not getting beat. Over top pretty much too as well.
Yeah, and to me that's always interesting is, you know, you've got, you know, Burrow wants to throw the ball, I mean, he's the quarterback. You've got Higgins, Boyd, and Chase. So the fact that Joe Mixon has that many yards and that kind of an offense is, you know, is really good. But again, you know, I think if we just make him, even if Mixon has 100-plus yards, maybe that's fine because, again, we're taking that big play away and, you know, keeping Chase and Higgins away from making big plays and scoring touchdowns because we already know how the Chiefs get once they start giving up big plays.
Mm-hmm.
You get Tyrann Mathieu throwing up his hands and stuff like that. So So yeah, I think, yeah, that to me is just key. Just make them, I wouldn't say earn it because that's a weird way of saying it, but I guess that's just the football saying. Make them go, you know, like that, like what was it, the San Francisco 49ers that drained like 8 minutes and ran 15 plays a few weeks ago. Make them do those kinds and then just have them settle for a field goal. So I think that'll be the key. Yep.
Yeah, hopefully we can definitely get it to where they don't score as many points, that's for sure. But actually leading into that is kind of our game predictions for this game. And I thought about this a little bit for a second, and it's going to be kind of how each team's defense plays, I think, really. But I guess I mentioned here a little bit ago, I think it's going to be a shootout. And I have the Chiefs winning 35-31. I think there's going to be a lot of points scored in this game. It very well could be back and forth. But I wouldn't be surprised if it's lower. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, obviously maybe it's Chiefs score something like 28 and it's maybe 28-21, something like that. If the defense can play, better continually playing how they've been playing. But I just think it's going to be a shootout. That's why I think I went with 35-31 Chiefs.
You know, what's an interesting thing that I thought about earlier, but I didn't look it up, is what is the weather like in Cincinnati? I mean, here in the Midwest, we're getting snow and stuff.
Right.
I think that'll be a factor if they get some kind of snow. So it looks like Sunday it's going to be raining. It's going to be cold. So maybe it won't be that big of a factor. I mean, it's on turf. So I have two thoughts with this, and it's almost common sense, but I think to your point, it's either going to be an absolute shootout, and it might even be higher than 30s. I think it could be like 38-41, something like that, right? I think it'd be an absolute, you know, like you said earlier, that finally that shootout game that the Chiefs have. Well, I guess they just had one not too long ago as well on Thursday, right? But
yeah, kind of. But I didn't really consider. I mean, because it wasn't really a shootout until like towards the end of the game,
right?
Yeah.
So yeah, good point. So maybe yeah. So I think it's going to be one of those where it is an absolute shootout. It could be, you know, late 30s, even early 40s, and I think the Chiefs win it because of just that experience. I think Burrow might throw like a crucial interception late in the game that seals it for the Chiefs. And if not, I see the Chiefs just absolutely dominating defensively. I mean, before this Ravens game, the Bengals did not score more than 23 points. The Broncos held them in check pretty much that entire game. So Joey Burrow and the Bengals had been struggling there for about 3 weeks on scoring points. So I think that's what I'm going to go with is – I think the Chiefs are going to go in Cincinnati and make sure that from their perspective, they're good on that number one seed. You know, there's other things that have to happen either this week or next week for them to clinch it. But the Chiefs are going to handle business. I think Spagnuolo is going to be on Burrow and just make his day absolute hell. So I'm actually going to go with something that's probably the complete opposite of what everyone thinks. I think the Chiefs are going to win 28-17. You'll have a few you'll have two touchdowns by Mahomes. And then I'm going to just say whether it's a running back catching it, you know, out the backfield for the third touchdown or just two rushing touchdowns. And then I think Burrow will have one touchdown in let's say, the appropriate time of the game. And then he'll have a garbage time touchdown that, you know, wins some people some fantasy football championships. So I'm going to go with 28-17. Chiefs in a really good defensive performance, and Reed and Spagnuolo teach Zach Taylor and Joe Burrow, a lesson on how to play football that hopefully makes them better for the future.
Right, that's good. A good prediction. Good call on either side. Like I said, it could go kind of one or two ways for this game. And just thinking, the last time we went to Cincinnati for a big game like this, or maybe not so much a big game for Cincinnati, but more for us, was 2003 when we started off the season 9-0. And I think I mentioned this in one of our episodes early on in the year. And then that's when we finally got our first loss of the year. We went to 9-1 after that game in 2003. I believe it was, I want to say it was Chad Johnson or Chad Ochocinco, wherever he went by then, had a huge game that day. But that was the last game I remember that when we played there in Cincinnati, that was a pretty big game like this, or at least the, you know, marquee game that they kind of shut us down that day. But obviously that wasn't when we had Mahomes and how good our offense is now. Even our offense was pretty dynamite back then too. But I think it's obviously a different team, and obviously our defense is a lot better too than it was. So it is a tough, I believe it's Paul Brown Stadium, right? Unless they changed it.
No anymore.
Yeah, but it's always kind of tough to play up north, like you said, depending on how the weather is and there in Cincinnati. So it will be an interesting game to watch, and obviously I think a lot of Chiefs fans can't wait for this game to play out how it is on Sunday. So
yeah, I mean, and one thing I looked at is, because I mean, the NFL is still doing flex Sunday nights, right, on these last 2 weeks of the season.
Are they? I thought they end that last week. Oh, okay. I could be wrong.
Is it when they end Thursday's games? So, Yeah, because I was looking at the schedule, and I'm like, man, based on, you know, this matchup is going to be better than the Vikings and Packers now. It might not have as big implications. I mean, I think the Packers have already ran away with the division, so.
Well, and Kirk Cousins, just announced that he's out on COVID, so he's not playing.
Okay, yep. I did see something come up, but I'm out of fantasy, so I don't pay attention to my players anymore. So, but yeah, I mean, so yeah, this would have been a great matchup to see on Sunday night. And from a neutral perspective, a shootout would be great. I think that's what the NFL wants. So, yeah, I mean, it should be a fun game regardless.
For sure. Can't wait. And it's an early game too, so it's one of the new games. So definitely it will be right there. You know, probably it should be national wide television. Obviously, it will be local and there in Cincinnati, but it should be a national game at noon. So we'll see. Leading into our last topic for today's episode, I was just kind of thinking of, you know, some of the recent success, obviously, that Andy Reid's had, and just seeing all these different posts about, you know, how he's. I believe he's been, I think it's his ninth year with the Chiefs, and he has had winning all nine seasons, obviously been winning seasons. He's made the playoffs 8 out of the 9 years he's been here, and obviously now 6 years in a row AFC West champions. So it got me thinking that, and I've seen someone else talk about it earlier, so I thought I'd mention it in this episode, about who would be on the Chiefs coach, as all the coaches that we've had in the history, who would be on Mount Rushmore for all the Chiefs coaches. And pretty much what I've seen and just thought of, I'm like, it's kind of consistent. There's really only four that would kind of fit there well on it. And it's Dick Vermeil, Hank Stram, Andy Reid, and Marty Schottenheimer. And I think majority of people would say the same. I don't see where there could be one other different one on there. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean, I think that's just the four that just comes to mind, and just, you think that's who would belong on or Mount Rushmore for coaching.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you have to find someone that's crazy to add anyone else in there, because I don't think, so looking at this list, So Todd Haley is the only other coach that has won the AFC West as a Chiefs head coach.
Wow. Yeah, didn't you know that?
So yeah, I mean, and I don't know if many people would say Haley deserves to go in there over Marty, Vermeil, Reid, or of course Stram. So
yeah, it's just, like I said, it's pretty consistent. I mean, I was joking around with you earlier, and I said, well, if someone wanted to do like the top four of people that would say the worst, you'd have a harder conversation. I mean, you probably could put, for sure, Romeo Crennel on there. You might be able to put Guther Cunningham on there.
Yeah, and look, I mean, I wasn't around before Marty. I wasn't really, let's say, I mean, I was a baby when, you know, anything happened before Marty. I started paying attention whenever Marty was around, so I can't really.
Right. So all those, there's some, probably some coaches in there before Marty, because that's when we started getting, you know, pretty good there in the early 90s, late 80s. So
I did not know that Marv Levy was a Chiefs coach.
That is true. He was for what?
Maybe a couple years? Yeah, 4 years or 5 years. Maybe I did, but again, man, that was 1978 to 82. I mean, I think, you know, we all know him more from his time in Buffalo than anything. So
yeah, it'd be kind of hard. I mean, as far as maybe legendary coaches, you could probably put Marv Levy on there, but as far as when he coached as the Chiefs,
he wasn't there yet. Right?
Yeah, he wasn't there yet. But so yeah, there's it's just, it was kind of a interesting topic to bring up, but I think right now, until we get somebody else great, you know, after Andy, but you know, Andy's going to probably still be here for hopefully at least a little bit longer, depending on, you know, winning other Super Bowls or whatnot, if he wants to kind of call it quits. But yeah, for now, I mean, it's just those four. So I just thought that would be.
Let me ask you this then. In our lifetime, right, we haven't seen too many coaches. There's a few instances of decent ones. They were okay. But who would you say was the better coach, Herm Edwards or Todd Haley?
Oh, that's a good – that is interesting because you – oh, man, that is
– let me give you some numbers. Let me just give you some stats, and then, you know, you can, let's say, use personal feelings or, you know, just about how they
– Yeah, I want to put personal feelings aside. Just give me the stats, and we'll see.
So, Herm – they were both here for 3 years. Herm was from 06 to 08, 48 wins, 15 – wait, is that right? Hold on. Wait a minute. Yep. Sorry. Nope. Okay. I did it wrong. So, yeah, 48 games. Herm had 15 wins, 33 losses, one playoff berth, no division crown. Todd Haley was 45 games, 19 wins, 26 losses, one playoff berth, one AFC West championship. So, yeah.
Man, it's just
factor in your, you know, how you feel about them and everything.
Yeah, it's, you know, as far as like coaching wise on the Chiefs and the teams that they were dealt with. I mean, because obviously we had some quarterbacks that just weren't up to par, even average.
At best. You had some troubles at quarterback, right?
So, you know, it's almost like I can't say it's a tie because I just don't like ties. I would have to say just because we made the playoffs and we won the AFC West, I'd have to say Todd Haley just because. But I think overall, I think Herm Edwards is the better coach. I just think that Todd Haley was able to ultimately, you know, help us get into the playoffs that year, even though I know we played Baltimore in that wild card game and we lost that first game there at home. But yeah, I mean, like I said, with personal feelings aside, I would have to say Todd Haley. I just think overall, not just Chiefs related, I think Herm Edwards is the better coach.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you factor in rosters, you know, Todd Haley came in with Pioli, right, where they basically turned us into like the little Patriots.
Right.
And so I'm not saying Matt Castle is a great quarterback, but, I mean, he was better than – who did Herm have? He had Thigpen, Palko. There's one more. Damon
Brody, Brody Croyle? Oh, no, that was probably
that was, yeah. Okay, right? Yeah. That was either before – that was either like at the beginning or the end. But then he had Damon Hewitt as well, right? So Herm definitely had some very subpar or below par quarterbacks. Todd at least had Matt Castle, who was, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, he was probably barely below par. But yeah, uh-huh. I would agree with you that I think Herm was the overall better coach. Todd Haley was more successful. I think Todd Haley rubs people the wrong way. I think everyone loves Herm. So yeah, it's one of those where, and if you're making the business decision, you know, I think, yeah, I think Haley is the, let's say, the one who had a better time here in Kansas City. But yeah, I couldn't disagree with you that Herm, I think, is a better coach overall.
Right. Yeah. Good topic though, for sure. I mean, that brought up a good, probably maybe a little bit of bad memories down memory lane there, but, but no, as far as maybe some of the coaches we had in our history and some recent ones, I think that was a good topic to obviously discuss. So that actually will do it for today for us. Just check back with us after the weekend for our breakdown of the Chiefs-Bengals game from week 17. Definitely want to wish a happy new year to you, Rich, and also all of Chiefs Kingdom listening here. And so once again, thanks again for listening. Don't forget to follow our podcast and go Chiefs.